All right. Well, good morning, everybody.
Everybody good?
Good morning. Thank you, Kenzie. Everybody good?
You're welcome.
Thank you for thanking me. All right. Everybody good this morning?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, as you can tell, I am not going to try to lead us in song this morning. Today's a little different feel. We're finishing up the end of the year. It's hard to believe that 2016 is upon us. Jesse will be back with us next week throughout the whole month of January. So we figured we'd leave the singing up to him next week. But I thought we could do this morning, just starting out, if you will. First, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. But I want you just to do this as we pray. Man, what an awesome time the season of Advent was. From Michael and Brantley and Jack teaching, just the different things that we talked about each week, the anticipation, the being with family, all of these things. Can we just worship this morning in the idea of going to the Lord in prayer and just thanking Him for this Advent season that we just came through? It was an awesome, awesome time. So you join me in prayer as we worship that way this morning. Father, we thank You just for this great time that we just went through. Father, the Advent, the arrival of Your Son. Father, not just the beginning or the creation, but the arrival, the Advent, the coming of Christ in flesh. Father, the One who's always been, the plan before the foundation of the world to be slain for our sin. Father, it is really His birth and the anticipation of that and the days leading up to it. Such a refreshing season for me, not just because I was being poured into by men that I love and respect, but Father, just to stop with the busyness. And I think just from week one of Michael and the roll-up door moment and the, just what are we anticipating, what are we focusing on, to the idea of the prophecy and Father, just the angels and all the things that came with the great stories and where Jesus was born and how He was born. All of this really leading to a purpose that offers life and offers it more abundantly here on earth and the hereafter in heaven. And so we thank You for that. We thank You for the moments that we had throughout that whole season, whether it be here at church or whether it be at home, gathering with family and friends and just the feelings that come with the season of Christmas and the season of Advent and just the great anticipation that came. We thank You for the Christ candle when it was lit and what that represents and just the message of hope that brings. And really that brings us to a place today where we focus on 2016 and we think about the days to come. And honestly, I mentioned this to others, and Father mentioned it in various ways. Father, I have a bold statement today. I pray, as I've prayed many times, Father, if it's me that's thinking this bold way, that You would just stop me if it's not You. And Father, You continue to give me direction, continue to give me voice, and continue to tell me to be bold. And so I pray that this morning. With that, I'll be completely honest with everyone. One, it's been a few weeks since I've taught. I'm nervous that I'll just want to go on forever. That's what preachers do. I'm nervous, Father, just really about the honesty of being bold. And Father, the accountability that puts on me as a shepherd of this body and really the responsibility it puts on us all as being in this place. But Father, You haven't called us to be comfortable. Father, You've called us to serve. And I believe You planted this church here for a reason. It's not just to gather together. It's not just to know and love one another. Father, it's to reach people in this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's bold. That's a bold thing that You've called us to. And with that, we can't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Father, we've got to be active. We've got to take You at what You've called us to do. And we've got to be the workers in Your harvest. And so with a bold statement today, we just pray that we would have a bold response. Not just today, but the entire coming year. And God, that You would just use us more than You ever have. Father, You would bring others into this fold, into this body that would just be workers for Your harvest. Your word tells us, and we believe it, that the harvest is plentiful. We can look around in our city and see those that are hurting and in need of the gospel. And You've armed us with that message, so God help us. Help us to be a mission church. Help us to be on purpose this year. Help us to be bold in all the things that you've called us to do. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we'll continue on. It's been a minute. Man, I have enjoyed sitting back and listening to the teaching and really just soaking in. And if you got a chance to read, I posted a blog the other day when I lit the Christ candle. To be honest, I cried like a little girl up here. I came one night before Christmas Eve, and I took a picture of our Advent wreath, and it was in the dark, and you know, the lights were on up here. The lights were on our little Charlie Brown tree up here. And I took this picture of lighting the Christ candle. And I admit, I thought I was going to put the flames out by standing over it and crying. But I thought about that, and I thought about you guys, and I thought about all that it represents. And I've continued over the last few weeks. It's been great to sit back and just listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Not just about Advent, but about us as a body and about me as an individual and about our calling together as a team and all these things. It kind of has just all come together over the last few weeks and sitting and listening and praying to God that His Holy Spirit would speak. So that's some of what you'll see today. If you noticed on any kind of social media in our home Facebook group, I put that there would be a vinyl record. A bold statement, some fried chicken. So hopefully it's going to be a fun day, man. That sounds like a good day to me, at least for sure the fried chicken part. Does anybody smell it? I'm already kind of catching a little whiff of it this morning. But it's going to be good. If you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Jack, if you're with me, that's page 554. Oh, Jack does not have his Bible today. Jack, you're on your own, buddy. I can't tell you what page it is anymore. But man, it's been great. Michael and Brantley and Jack, I just want to thank you not only for your teaching, but for the men that you are. Just the inspiration to me, and God spoke definitely not only to me, but I heard to others as well. So that was great. Obviously, with the close of this Advent season, as I mentioned in my prayer, it comes a new year, right? This is a time that really is easy, and especially the older you get, it's easier to sit back and to stop and to think about the new year to come. And I'll be honest, as you get older, anybody that's older in this room that would like to say amen to this can understand. Really, as each year kind of closes, boy, it seems like the next new year comes a lot quicker, right? And I used to think, man, that's what old people say. Well, I am old now, and I'm telling you that. It does. It goes by quicker. And I want you to know, I believe in my heart of hearts that God has placed us here for a reason, right? This place just didn't happen by chance. There has been a tremendous amount of work and effort and blood and sweat and tears. Hopefully none of that blood has been caused by each other, but maybe it has, right? We've made mistakes along the way. Things have gone great. Things have gone bad. But God has called us to be faithful in this. And again, I continue to tell you that I believe in my heart that I want to share deeply from my heart of what God has told me, that there is a bold thing that He wants to tell us this morning. So as we look into the Word, I just want to go to a very familiar passage, one that you've heard, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, as we look at this bold statement that God is going to give us today. If you're there, say word.
Word.
All right. Cora's there. Here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you for this time that you give us, and we just pray, Father, again, that you would speak, that I would do an adequate job of what you've laid on my heart. Father, that you would use my mouth to convey that message, and that it wouldn't be my words, but Holy Spirit, that you would speak directly to hearts, that you would bypass our mind, bypass our fears, bypass our thoughts, our preconceived notions, and that you would speak directly to our heart that you have redeemed, hopefully. The one that knows you, the one that calls you Lord and Savior, that you would speak directly to the core of our being, our heart and our soul, and that you would light it on fire for this 2016 year. Father, this is a bold thing that you say. I just take it your word and just want to tell these people that I have supreme confidence in you, that you are the head of this church, Christ. And Father, that you are leading us in this direction, and I just pray that you would speak in a powerful way today. Again, not to our minds, not to our thoughts, but directly to our hearts. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, this passage here made popular by the preacher, as he's called in Ecclesiastes. He's called the son of David, the king of Jerusalem, Solomon, the wisest man, is the author of this. You've heard this before, and if it sounds like a song, there's a reason for that. We're going old school today. In fact, so old school that we're breaking out the Fisher Price portable record player. I just want you to know this is a model like what I had when I was a kid. And so, of course, when I ran across this baby, y'all ready for this? Oh, that's not going to work. Hold on, it's locked. Look at this. Yeah. I ran across this baby at a thrift store one day, and it says it worked. It just needed a needle. And I paid more for the needle than I paid for this whole entire thing. But the fact was, I found it. It was in working condition, and it transported me back to childhood. And my wife said, when I came home, why in the world did you buy this? You have three or four too many record players and way too many records. But one of the main reasons I wanted to use this today is that she can't say that anymore. There was a purpose for this, right? And it had to be used. But obviously, if you are familiar with this passage, you know that there is a song. This may be weird, and I just venture to say that nowhere in America today, in a church, is there a Fisher-Price record player playing this song. And so what I want you to do is when I play this song, we're actually going to play it and listen to it, all right? I want you to do, I want you to keep Ecclesiastes 3, and I want you to look at this. First off, this would never happen today. No one would ever quote scripture in a mainstream song, but this was a number one hit in 1965. I won't ask if you were born then, but kids, this is what kind of real music sounds like, right? On a Fisher-Price record. Let's hope this works. Jamie, if this doesn't work, you're right. Oh, yeah. Follow along in your scripture in this moment.
A time to kill, a time.
right, that just happened. So, I won't ask if anybody was around when that was a new song, but I will ask, have you heard it? All right, some volunteers. I wasn't going to point you out. First off, do you like the song? I mean, that's good music, right? There you go, Jimmy's on board. Amazing, like today, right? That would not happen. You would not turn on the radio on a secular station and hear basically verbatim, word for word, the scripture, right? That's what happens in this. And maybe there's some of Solomon's descendants. Maybe they were big fans. I don't know the story behind it all, but it's amazing to hear that song and to understand that it truly is just scripture coming off the pages. I want to take us back, though, to the actual author, right? I thought that'd be a fun way to introduce things. But I want you to think about Solomon, right? This is the wisest man that ever lived. Now, I will go on and say off the bat that a lot of times he did not operate under that wisdom, right? You can look at how he lived his life. And so a little side note there would be to really just use what God gives you, right? Some of us could find ourselves in that same very sense, and really how it applies today in a sense of talking about this bold thing that God really has called us to do in this group is to plant a church and to watch it grow. And all of these things, God has given each of you individually gifts, right? And then together, we would come together as a body and use these gifts, not for our own glory or for our own purpose, but to tell others about His Son, right? To tell others about His gospel. And so at this point, really, we could find ourselves in the midst of just like this writer and seeing these seasonal things that happen in life, being at a place where we have been given a gift and possibly like Solomon, not using it and looking back at the end of our days and saying, man, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And so the side note is there just for this moment to think about this author, the wisest man ever, the one that was given the gift and chose wisely to take the gift of wisdom, but oftentimes did not use that gift. Use what God has given you. And so we see here, I want you to keep your place in Ecclesiastes. I want you to look back to chapter 1 just for a second. We're going to look at a few places in this book. And so this preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem, Solomon, the wisest man, is looking back basically over his life, right? He's an old man at this point, and he's looking back. And I want you just to, this is a passage that you're familiar with, but I want you just to think about this in the light of coming upon a new year, 2016, one that may be filled with many goals that you have in mind. It could range from losing weight. It could range from a professional goal. It could range from a personal goal, any of these things. But listen to what this preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, says, starting at verse 2 of chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon, the wisest person that has come and gone and has seen everything, has amassed great wealth and great wisdom, obviously, and all of these things, is really at the point of his life and looking back saying, in my life, what I'm looking at me, really at this point, what does it all even mean? Right? One of these great, grand, and just deep questions about what is the purpose of life? Right? You want to do some soul searching at the end of the year, saying, coming and looking yourself in the mirror and saying, man, what is my purpose? What am I here for? What has God made me to do? And really, without Him, without adding Him, all of the list of everything that you could come up with as a New Year's resolution for 2016, without Christ being the center, really, at the end of your life, is vanity. It's useless, is what he's saying. It really doesn't matter. And Solomon, the wisest man, is questioning himself all of this at the end of his life. What does it really even all mean? He continues on. He says this. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? You've heard the joke or the statement about someone who dies and they go to the go to him, and in his dying words that he never says, boy, I wish I would have worked more. I wish I would have done this more. Most of the time it's around family. It's around friends. It's around those things and relationships that someone wishes they would have done more. It says a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. In other words, we are here for a blink of an eye. Think of everything that's happened before you and everything that will happen after you. Really, it is just a blink of an eye. Solomon continues, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and round goes the wind, and on its circuits the winds return. All the streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, they flow again. All things are full of weariness, a man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Do you understand what Solomon's doing here? He's at the point of his life where he understands that his life is coming to a close, and he's saying that basically me, the wisest man in the world, the king, right? I'm the king. I'm kind of the junk. I'm the person that everybody looks to. Really, at the end of it all, it doesn't matter. Right? The earth's still going to be here, still going to go round and round. The wind's still going to blow. The sun's still going to shine. I'm going to be gone. What does it matter? I want to tell you, really, in the grand scheme of things, this is not to point out, hey, don't pursue your dreams. Don't go to college. Don't do this. Don't work hard. I'm just telling you the filter on all of that needs to be Christ. It's nothing. At the end of your life, you too will be like Solomon and say, man, vanity of vanities. What did it mean? It's all got to be about a greater purpose, something that you're sending ahead, something that is eternal and not just here on this earth. Because I promise you, when you have that attitude that it's different, you're in for a rude awakening, and this life does not revolve around you. As much as you love you, as much as I love you, right? This world does not revolve around you. It does not revolve around me. And listen, my eternity is secure. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And when I die and leave this place, do not mourn for me. I have gone ahead. But I want to take some people with me. And that's what this church was planted to do. Right? This is a great group of people. I love these people that are in these seats. I love you. I think the world of you, some of the most awesome people I know are in this room. But I'm telling you, there are people that are driving by right now, people that are in this city that are hurting, that are desperate, that are in need of the gospel. And God placed us in the middle of them to go and not just say, hey, come. To go. Right? To be missional, to be on purpose, to be bold, saying that we have the story, we have the answer. Right? I heard an old illustration a long time ago. Holding on to the gospel would be like some medical professional coming up with a cure for cancer and saying, you know what, I'm going to sit on that for a little while, watching people die all around them. We would say, how dare they, right? What a terrible person. You have the cure to something so much greater than cancer. You have the cure to something that's eternal, the gospel. And I'm fearful that so many of us have been burned by church or burned by religion or burned by all kind of things that we say, man, I don't want to come off as weird. I don't want to come off as one of those people. I don't want to come off as this. Guys, we have to talk at some point. We have to tell people about the gospel. You can be good in front of somebody all you want, right? And our righteousness is like filthy rags. But we can do our best, right? And shine and all these things. But if they don't know the name of Jesus, then it really is for vanity. All is vanity at that point. And so Solomon is kind of coming to a place like this in his life, at the end of his life. Hopefully no one's at the end of their life, but we are at the end of the year, right? It's a time to reflect. It's a time to gather. It's a time to go back and really think about all the things that have happened. And here's what he says. I just want you to kind of flip through. We see this, the times and the seasons and all these things. We see the vanity. I want you to flip to the end of this book, chapter 12. I want you to see kind of what Solomon, the wisest guy that has ever lived. And here's what he says. Chapter 12, verse 1, he says this. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. His greatest advice, the wisest man to ever live, he comes to the end of his life and the end of this writing and says, remember your Creator. I challenge you that same thing. In 2016, remember your Creator. If you read all of this chapter 12, you will see several things where he's kind of back to chapter 1 and how all the things are just so seasonal in life and how things come and how things go. But really, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, he says in verse 8. Look at this in verses 13 and 14. He says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. At the end of this journey, at the end of this soul searching, that Solomon does. At the end of it all, he says, fear God and keep his commandments. If I could urge you to do anything today, if I could just plead with the through the Holy Spirit, the heartstrings, what really motivates you, fear God and keep his commandments in 2016. Honor him. Right? The fact that he's called your Lord and Savior, don't just skip over the Lord part and let him be Savior. Right? That's a great thing to celebrate. It's an awesome thing to celebrate, the fact that Jesus saved our soul, but the fact that he did that, he also became your Lord. It means that he is the guiding force, the one that leads your life in all of these things. I want to take you back to the passage in chapter 3, if you'll flip back. And this is where God has really spoken to me on things, and it's beyond a cheesy record or any of that kind of stuff. It's a real serious thing to me this morning. The seasons are evident, right? You look through this and you see all of the seasons of life in an individual. You see it in a body. You see it just in life itself. You see all of the things that happen to me, to us, found in this passage. And I just want to talk just from my heart this morning for us. I just find it unique just to read this, and I want you just to go to verse 2. The end of it, it says that there's a time to plant. We've done that. As a body, we've done that. And I want to tell you, it hasn't always been perfect. It hasn't always been conventional. In fact, I was sharing with some the other day that if you were to get go to Lifeway today and read a church planting book, we've probably done everything the opposite. And some of that's okay. There's no set way to do this. We've had a calling and we've done what God has called us to do. And it's been unconventional and it's been seasonal. There's been great times and there's been times where we're thinking, man, what are we doing? You know, at least I have. There's been moments of questions and concerns and moments of highs and lows and great things, victories, and what we would say, at least in our mind, felt like a defeat. You know, all of these things, right? It's been very seasonal, but I want to challenge you and commend you in this. You've been faithful through all of that. Right? There's been some people here since the very beginning, and those that have come on board, you've been faithful through the good and bad and all of these things. And I can remember just from the very first time that we sat around, some of us, and sat at my house, and said, do we want to do this thing? Is God calling us to do this? And we voted yes. We said yes, we're going to do this. And we met in a little small basement, right? And just prayed for the day that God would bring us to a place. But can I just offer a news flash this morning? I mean this not from a negative sense, not from trying to be rude or anything like this. God did not bring us out of that basement and place us and give us a building like this just to sit back with that same group and say, man, this sure is a nice, comfortable place. And boy, Keith and Jamie, we're glad we're out of the house every week. There was some of that. That was a tough season, right? I can tell you that was one of the lows at times. It was like, man, this is awesome, but man, this is tiring. Right? But God has seen us through that. He's brought us to this place, but he didn't just bring us here to sit around in a circle and look at each other and talk about how good looking we are. By the way, you're very good looking. I look at a great looking group of folks right now. I really do. But that's not the end-all be-all. You understand that when God plants a church, he has the nations in mind. Not just here. I'll tell you, God's given us money. He's given us resources. He's given us time. He's given us talent. He's given us breath in our lungs. Not just to come and sit in here, but to reach out. The nations, our city. I've said this all along, and this may freak some of you out, but especially if you've been in leadership, you've heard me say this over and over, and it may sound foolish to you right now to say this, but my heart has always been that when God would raise up a group enough in us that we could replicate what he's done here. You say, man, we haven't even got this down yet. I understand that. That's scary. Right, to think that maybe there's a dark and forgotten place in our city that we could go and we could plant somewhere else. I think God's going to do it one day. We need to plan for it. We need to prepare for it. We need to work for that. You may say in your heart of hearts, man, that's kind of weird. Like, right, some weeks we're here and there's 15 of us. How are we going to do that? I don't know. I just know God is calling us to be something different. And then when we go and plant, we don't look for the richest and the nicest place to go, but we look for somewhere that's hurting and we go. When we find a ministry opportunity, we don't find it in the demographics or the way things shape up of how it's going to affect us, you know, in the financial sense, right? It's the dark and forgotten places. And that's going to mean us all stepping up and being who God has called us to be in this place. And so through this seasonal thing and us seeing this, again, just sharing from my heart this morning that really I believe God has been shaping us and molding us into who He's wanting us to be. And I believe right now in this season, in this time, God has brought together a core people that understand that. I really do. I think you guys understand that and understand the mission that God has called us to do. Here's where I really just want to put myself out there and say that this is the bold statement. And I don't want to be like the preacher on the billboard that says, unless you give me $1 million, I'm not coming down here, or if a goal's not met. I don't want you to know that. I don't have some kind of crazy dream of this is what's going to happen exactly. But I do want to tell you this. I do believe in my heart of hearts that I have a feeling from God. A bold statement that's going to put me out there that you can look back at 2017 if we're all still here and say, man, you said this and what happened? I can't tell you what the picture looks like, but I do believe a season's coming that we're going to pluck. And what that means is there's going to be a harvest. I want you to look me in the eyes and understand what I really believe that from the Holy Spirit of God, that God is setting up a season of harvest in here. Can't tell you what that looks like. If you think, man, Keith's having dreams and visions, listen, I'm an old Southern Baptist boy. That don't happen to us. But I can tell you this, God's speaking to me and telling me over and over and over, it's coming, be ready. And I wouldn't lead you astray. I wouldn't tell you that if it was some made up hokey thing or some kind of motivational tactic. I'm just telling you, I believe the harvest is coming. I'm fully in on that. I just want you to know, though, that I believe if God is going to really come through with that, and I believe He is, that means that it can't just be a few of us pulling the weight. That everybody's got to put their hands to the plow and not look back and do what He's called us to do, and that's reach people with the gospel. And I want to reach people. That's what God planted us here to do, and I believe that it's coming. I believe that a harvest is coming, and I'm claiming it, and I'm praying for it in God's will, and I just keep hearing that be ready, be ready. If you want to picture this, I really just kind of envision it like this. I envision kind of a wind of revival, if you will. I envision a big ship at the harbor, and that's us, and we're on it. And I believe God's going to blow those winds. I really do. And the question is, will we be there with the sails down and saying, well, man, when it blows, we'll put the sails up and we'll go? Or are we going to put them up now and just trust and believe, say, it's coming. We're ready. I'm praying, I'm ready, and we believe that it's going to happen. I hope that you'll do that with me. Luke 10:2 says, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. We pray for more workers. We pray for more people that God will send, that the harvest is plentiful. And can I just tell you this? There's two things in that verse that I think are critical for us to understand. Who is the one over the harvest? It calls Him by name. It's with a capital L. It says the Lord of the harvest. And then it says this, send us out into whose harvest? His harvest. It's all Him. Right? In other words, listen to this. The Holy Spirit is doing and has done the work. We've just got to go and we've got to be faithful. We've got to go out into His harvest, the one that He's calling us to do. I won't begin to tell you what I believe this harvest looks like. I'm not going to do that because I don't know. I just continue to hear the Lord saying, be ready, be ready. I want you to know how bought in I am to this. I've given our leadership team, and I do this each year, and we leave room for the Holy Spirit to operate in all these things and can change anytime, but it's just much easier for me and our leadership to know. I give them a preaching schedule in advance. Like next year's planned out, we know where we're heading, the things that we're doing, prayed about that, they counseled on that, all of those things. But in that, I want you to know how bought in I am to this idea. The month of October, I've set aside for us to celebrate the harvest. because I believe it's coming. In October, I want it to be just an awesome praise fest of celebrating what God has done. And so you may think I'm crazy, you may think I'm delusional, you may think I've ate too much over the holidays and am having bad dreams or whatever, but I'm just telling you, it's coming, and I hope you'll be ready with me. For me, though, I think that speaks into us a little bit. One, the idea of this came, I preached a thing in Illinois one time, and when I was asked about it, I thought, man, that's cool, I'm going to Illinois, it's like going to be like Chicago, the big city, it's going to be cool. And I found out and started looking at this place I was going, and it was like, I mean, I thought McCall, Alabama was redneck. This place, I'm telling you, Jamie, was it not? For miles, I'm talking about hundreds of miles, all you saw was corn. I mean, it was just rows and rows and rows and these big combines and all these things. And I thought it was weird. What I was asked to come speak at was a harvest celebration. And I thought, okay, well, it's Halloween. And it was just like, that's what Baptist people call, you know, Halloween, it's a harvest celebration. Guys, they were literally celebrating the harvest. It was like, this is what we're bringing in, and we're thankful to God. And so with that, that's just what I envision October being. So that gives you something to look forward to. I think God's going to reap a great harvest. And we're going to sit back in October, and that doesn't mean that we have to wait till October to celebrate, but we're going to sit back in October, and we're going to say, God, it's not us, it's you that did it. And we're going to celebrate that. And so I just want you to know that's my bold statement. I believe that now is the time. Can I just offer a couple of words from two wise men? One is James. In the book of James, he says that life is like what? This is Bible. Life is like a vapor. Just a short breath, right? I mean, it really is. And so I just want you to know that if the time is now, and James tells us that it's short, man, it's time to get with it, right? There can't be any more sitting around and just waiting for something to happen. And I don't know what that means for us as a church as far as how that takes shape and how we go and what we do. I can just tell you this, that if it's going to be under my leadership and some of you guys' leadership, we're going to go. And so I hope you'll come with us, whatever that looks like. The other wise man that I want to quote is Rocky Balboa. I went and watched the movie Creed yesterday, and I was an hour in and found out that it was not a documentary on the supergroup Creed. I was really bummed about that. I thought it was Scott Stapp, and there was a lot of fighting and stuff in it. I kid. Rocky Balboa makes a statement to Apollo Creed's son, yes, there is a new Rocky movie. And it was pretty good, honestly. Not that you come here for movie reviews, but... he did make a statement. I was so glad they didn't have Rocky fighting because, I mean, let's be honest, that's gotten a little old. But Rocky makes a statement to this young guy, and he says, man, he's talking about now is the time. And he said, time's undefeated. And you think about that, it's like, Rocky, you're a wise man. Right? The older I get, they understand that Father Time is undefeated. It gets everybody. And so, man, here's what I don't want to do. And this is just me personally. This is where I'm... just being open and transparent with you. I've been called to lead this group. I know I have. May not always do that great, and I'll be the first one to admit I don't have all the answers. I don't. I won't ever act like that. I'm never going to be prideful enough to say, I got this thing figured out. You need to do exactly what I say. Man, check me on everything. Pray for me. Uplift me. Help me. But I can tell you this. I don't want to stand before God and Him say, man, I called you to plant this thing and to lead this thing. That's what y'all did. I want to go after it. I want to go get them. I want to see some people say it. And it's time to do it. Now is the time. Right? So I hope that you'll join me in that. With that, I just want to offer a personal statement of this, that you would begin praying now on what role as a worker that you would have. Because that's now, by the way. When you pray about that, I don't want you to pray, God, send the workers so they can do it. Right? I mean, we need more workers. I want more hands and feet here to help do things and serve. But man, that needs to be praying about, God, what do you want me to do? Right? What would you have me do? What would you have me put my hands to the plow and not look back and just work, man? And do it for your glory, not for Keith, not for the church, but for your mission that you called us to. I need to be prayed about now. I'm praying that everybody will step up in 2016, and that'll start with me. I pray that I'll be an example that you say, man, I'm going to get right in there with you. You know, if you'll do that, I'll do that. So I'm just letting you know, I'm not asking you to do anything that I won't do myself. The workers are few, but God has put you as one of the few here. Right? He's done that for a reason. And so find that out. That's every one of you that know the Lord. Every one of you that know the Lord. God's got a purpose for you being here. So find that out. That's young and older alike. All right? And then lastly, I want to do this. If you believe me. No, scratch that. Don't listen to me. If you believe the Holy Spirit in saying that, man, this is going to be a time of harvest, let's thank Him for it. Let's thank Him in advance. Let's be bold enough to do that. And listen, I know probably you're like me, and this is just lack of faith in my part. When I say this in my mind, and I'm thinking, God, you're telling me to tell them what now? Like, what if it doesn't happen? How little faith do I have? You know? God's telling me that this is going to be a time of great harvest. What great looks like to Him, I don't know. I'm excited to find out. So I pray that you'll join me in praying for that, praying for His will, that we'll all be a part and just thanking in advance for that. So if you'll join me in that, I'd love to pray that. And we'll talk a few things and dismiss from that. Father, we thank you for today. Just if I'm honest, it was scary for me today. Normally don't get just super nervous, get nervous each week, but this week I was nervous. Again, I'll admit, that's probably my lack of faith in some ways. But God, I know you've been speaking. I know you've been just telling me, just to tell them, be ready. And if we got a picture of a ship in the harbor that was sails up, just waiting on the winds of revival or harvest to blow, then so be it. Let's do that. Let's be ready. Let's be sitting there and just anticipating and knowing that you're going to come, that you're going to move. And Father, with that comes responsibility on our part. We can't just sit there. Father, we've got to be a part of it. So help us to pray and seek what you want us to do now and what you've called us to do. The workers are few here, but yet we're part of the few. And so you've called us, you've placed us here. Help us, guide us, lead us. And Father, lastly, we just want to thank you in advance. Boldly, I just want to thank you for the harvest that's coming. Father, that we're going to see people saved. We're going to see people changed. We're going to see people ministered to this year. And I believe it's going to be our greatest year yet. And that, Father, you're going to do these things not through the power of us, just the willingness of us and the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, use us. We're here. I pray that you'd lead us all in that direction. We pray all these things, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do this coming year. We thank you for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.